Snack Bar Games Podcast.
And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 247. I'm Graham, and this time I am joined by the old crew, Andrew and Sean. Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'd ask how it's going, but Sean, I know. Sean, you're hanging in there.
Today's my second day of 2013.
Blacked out. Was gone.
Yeah, I can't believe that January is almost over.
I wonder who was sending all those tweets from your account then.
I
would look into that. Yeah.
How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
You know what? I went before we started this podcast, I'm like, man, I gotta go to work tomorrow. But then I remembered I have tomorrow off. So
yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. I wish I had tomorrow off.
And by tomorrow we all mean yesterday.
Oh yes, that's right. Yes, I had yesterday off.
Well, I wish I had tomorrow off, too, and yesterday.
Yeah, I wish I had tomorrow off, but I just have yesterday off. I'll take it, though.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what? Let's go ahead and jump into it with some news. Sean, what's going on? I know you have been filled in.
Yes, I have seen the news, and there's actually a decent amount of it for January.
It's weird.
Yeah, I know. Pokemon got some new games. We got X and Y going full 3D, which I am very excited about.
Yeah.
I looked at the trailer for that, and I'm like, wow, this actually looks like a step up for the Pokemon series. That's the first time I've ever said that since, I don't know, maybe Diamond and Pearl?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So,
yeah.
I think the starters look pretty good.
Yes.
Can't decide between Finnegan and Chris Martin.
Wait, what?
Crispin?
Chris Martin?
Crispin?
Chris Martin?
I don't.
Never mind.
Finnegan is the one.
Pokemon.
Because it's a Firefox.
I was making a Coldplay joke, but
I don't think I've ever listened to them.
Okay.
I'm only just now getting it because you said Coldplay.
Okay.
It took me a second.
All right, but yeah,
that's still not, that's okay.
So yeah, we're getting like a legitimate, like polygonal Pokemon game. I don't think we know enough really yet to say anything besides that, but we're getting it, and it'll be later this year and simultaneous worldwide launch, which is good.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are kind of mixed on like the visuals. I think they look great, but I don't. Some people don't like them. I don't know.
I don't care.
Yeah, I say that they're worried about it slowing down the battles, but I don't care either.
Well, yes, like anyone who's played like a Pokemon Stadium game knows that like that just gets super obnoxious.
Yes.
But one, I imagine you could turn it off.
Or just skip through it easily.
Two, I think at this point, if they're not going to make political battles, then they just basically, I mean, if you don't want political battles, just play one of the many, many Pokemon games that already exist.
There are too many of them, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, we'll talk about that in October.
I just hope that they keep the movies, because those are addictive. I want to be a 3D movie star in Pokemon.
I really think that's not going to be in the game anymore. feels like that's not going to be in the game.
Probably not. They changed the little mini-game things you can do inside it every single time.
Yeah, and that one seems particularly elaborate to do with polygonal cutscenes and things like that.
That's probably true.
Yeah, have you ever played the movies, the PC game where you make movies?
That game is awesome.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I saw some movies people made on it. They were hilarious.
Watching other people's movies is super dumb. But
yeah, actually making the movies is a lot of fun. I love that game.
Yeah. If only you could do that. If they just made a Pokemon game that's the movies, but like you'd level up Pokemon by putting them in movies and then you could transfer them back to your game.
Sure, I play that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds better than the pedometer.
That's true. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, okay. Pokemon. Yeah.
So, Pokemon's coming. We also have a new Disney game that is taking a tip off of Skylanders.
Yeah.
I really expected Pokemon to be the first one to try that, but I'm kind of glad it's not.
Nintendo
because I would have to buy them all.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't go traditional ways of making you pay them a lot of money.
Nintendo
and sometimes I'm happy about that.
Nintendo doesn't do things traditionally, just in general.
Yeah. So they're more likely to bundle in a pedometer and make you pay an extra $5 for it.
Yeah.
But,
of course.
So Disney Infinity, it seems largely based on Pixar franchises, and that kind of makes sense because it's, you know, all this, you know, 3D rendered video games, so it makes sense that the 3D rendered stuff would do better. But they're also including Pirates of the Caribbean, yep. Phineas mm-hmm. and Ferb.
I think Nightmare Before Christmas also is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A weird amalgamation of things. Though, I mean, I guess it doesn't make the starters that it comes with are the Incredibles and then Monsters University, which I guess makes sense because it'll be like the thing to come out then, and Pirates of the Caribbean. But the thing it's doing that isn't like Skylanders is that the part where you mix them all together and play with them whatever you want is like a separate mode where you just kind of make stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that each of them is actually like their own, and basically they're just making like the equivalent of like, you know, something like a Lego game-ish thing for each one, where like each of them has their own. I mean, maybe not as long, I guess, but like a whole game for them that only they get to be in, and it's an interesting approach.
I like that a lot better than the Skylanders approach. Not to just start Skylanders or anything, you know. It's done its thing and it does it well, but. I'm glad this isn't just more of that, and the creative approach is very similar to I think it's very similar to Toy Story 3's Toy Box mode.
Right, and this is actually just Toy Box. Like they're still calling it Toy Box. It's still from the same developers. It's doing all that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it. That,
did you
that,
play that?
I did. It was actually pretty cool. Sure. I didn't spend a ton of time with it, but I liked it.
Well, I mean, for those who haven't. Try that out. People are saying it's a lot like that mode. What was that like? What, I mean, is it like people are saying it's very Minecrafty, but I don't think it's very Minecraft. It seems more.
No.
Yeah.
Minecraft implies you can kind of like do whatever you want in this world, assuming you have the tools to do it. I think that's speaking too much. I think it's giving it too much credit, but it's more like it's basically like you have a set amount of like with Toy Story 3, you had all of the characters at your disposal. You can create different like kind of missions or scenarios for those characters to play out, and based on that you would get rewarded. Like if you could create a scenario where this and this happens, then you would get some kind of reward that would unlock something that would continue to allow you to create more scenarios. So it wasn't like Minecraft where you actually build things out of blocks and stuff like that. But it is very creative in the fact that you can kind of create scenarios. I think Toy Box let you share them online in Toy Story 3, so I think it'll probably be like that here, which is pretty cool. So I don't know. I that is the thing that interests me the most about this. Although I'm probably not going to buy these because if I start buying them, I won't be able to stop. Probably
you won't.
No.
No.
So I'm going to avoid that. But you know, if someone I know gets it, then I will play their copy and probably have fun with that. But
yeah,
I guarantee you, Chris will get it.
Oh yeah, probably.
I have talked to him already. When they first unveiled that, I sent him the story and he's just like, all right. I could just, you know, hear in his words his just accounting for, well, there goes $750.
his acceptance of something that is definitely gonna happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for example, with Skylanders Giants, he like went out on the first day and bought everything that was available. So I mean,
it's like it's not just the figures, it's like different actual play sets that you, which I think are just, if you buy like the packs, obviously if you get the Monsters University pack, you get all of those levels that are kind of, like you said, that are kind of like the Lego, like the Lego games recreating stuff from the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know the pricing scheme exactly, but I know that the base game is $60. I don't know what that comes with exactly.
Well, I know the base game. I don't know whether like what sort of playsets it comes with. That I think could really be interesting. I know there are separate playsets for the game. I guess maybe there's just some like base adventure, maybe something like that. It would be interesting. Yeah,
could be. Because I know it's not, it's different. Like Skylanders again was all about just buying the different figures, and then there's, you know, little add-ons that you get as well. But this is more about,
right,
you not only get the figures, but you get the playsets, which are kind of like a set of levels.
Yeah. So it's interesting because the base game, you know, it's going to have something. It's unclear. But so, yeah, like the playsets, I think are 35, I think.
Okay.
And then you can get, I think, individual characters that don't have playsets.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure the value of those. Those seem a little strange. Like if they don't have any like levels with them and things like that.
It's probably like if you have this playset, you can get all of the other Monsters University characters and just kind of play with them in those levels, I guess. So
you're right.
In that way, it might be more Skylanders.
Yeah.
But,
that's interesting. But then I know they're also doing $5 like blind boxes that come with little power ups.
Yeah, that's cool.
That must sound cool to someone who doesn't intend on buying any of it. But stuff that you randomly get and can't be sure of what you're getting, and can be bought $5 at a time.
Yeah.
Money goes pretty fast when you do that.
It does.
But, yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting seeming. I really just have to see more about that.
Yeah.
But we probably will in the next couple months.
I haven't seen anything besides the trailer, which, I don't know, it seems good. Seems cool. Seems like a cool another thing for kids to, you know, kids that will beg their parents to buy them all of it, and then their parents will have these huge credit card payments, probably.
And especially if it is used the way I think it is. So that, like, for example, like, this whole thing where it's launching with this Monsters University pack, and then, like, it'll have it tied into the movie. If this is what they're doing instead of trying to make a game for it, you know? If basically their movie tie-in is just going to have, like, an Infinity pack, instead of having some, like, poor, horrible developer make something really bad.
Yeah.
I think that could be really cool.
Yeah,
I think it takes a minimum amount of effort so they could put out something that was like interesting to play rather than trying to build up something new from scratch.
I mean, it's pretty much like you're buying a game like a small game that's an add-on to this bigger game that just for each upcoming Disney movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And I imagine there's probably some existing licensing deals and things like that. So there probably will be movie games, but I really hope, like, for example, they put out that Wreck-It Ralph game.
Yeah,
Activision did that, and it's like the worst thing. Even though, like, it's a game about video games, and like there are obvious sequences that can be made into something fun, they instead made like a 2D platformer running in the same engine for the DS and the 3DS and the Wii. It's just like it's the worst thing. But like I know Wreck-It Ralph is part of Infinity. I saw his like redesign for it, where his chin is slightly different shape. weird art style going on, but
yeah. So when Wreck-It Ralph 2 comes out, then it'll be on Infinity.
I mean, or just even if they have a Wreck-It Ralph Infinity pack later this year or something, that could be really fun. Especially if it's like you can play in the worlds of the arcade games, which is what the game should have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Like clearly, if they just like put like build some in-engine racing thing or whatever, just do that. Anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, and if all of this stuff uses the toy box mode, I mean you can create a lot of cool stuff with these different characters. I don't know. I'd be interested to see if you can actually mix and match like the different. I'm assuming you can, but mix and match like the different Disney characters. Like you have the Monsters University and the Wreck-It Ralph characters interacting in some level created from one or both of those worlds.
Right.
Again, we don't know like the specifics of that stuff, but
right. We know they can interact, but like where they can do. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's that game. We'll talk about it more when it comes out. Hey, Sean, what else is going on?
All right, we also have a new project from CD Projekt called Cyberpunk 2077. And I watched the trailer for it today, finally. I'm not sure whether you're the good guys or the bad guy in the game.
I think the trailer was more just like, look at our awesome technology and our cool-looking world. I don't think it really established
it. It did look kind of cool.
So this was announced a while back.
With just like concept art and stuff.
Yeah, late last year, they basically just had like one piece of concept art. But announced that it was coming. So this is our first look at it. So I mean, But before I get into that, maybe explaining, like, from what I understand, you're part of, like, that cop force, basically handling people who have had too many cybernetic implants and lose control of their own bodies.
Yeah.
Start killing people.
Yeah. So that's basically, this trailer, I'm interested in the game, but the trailer doesn't make me excited about it. because the trailer is just like slow motion bullets and like metal fragments coming off of people and like a guy pointing a gun at like behind a girl's head. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's like 4 minutes long, but it's those three things.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, when you put those things in slow motion, then you got 4 minutes right there.
I mean, it looks cool, but I don't know what that game is.
Yeah. I tried reading about it too, and it sounds intriguing, but again, I'm excited for the mere concept, like the concept of this game and the fact that the team that the CD Projekt Red is making this game, because I love The Witcher 2, and I am excited about whatever they develop next after playing that game. So just that alone is enough to get me excited, even if the trailer wasn't like super impressive in terms of showing off what that game actually is. I don't know. That was enough. It's like knowing they're still, you know, they're showing off the tech a little, and they're like, hey, this is going to come out eventually. Apparently, they in the trailer, they have two different things, one of which is potentially an announcement of The Witcher 3, which we talked about in The Speculator.
Yeah.
And the other
thing.
What else
we're working on?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I think it's supposed to be early February. They're going to have some announcement.
Yep.
I think it's safe to assume it's Witcher related. And the other thing was that it said something about 2015, which is everyone saying, oh, okay, so that's when it's probably, that's when they want it to come out, even though they also said in the trailer, it'll be out when it's done type of thing. So,
yeah.
But 2015 sounds like a reasonable release date, especially if they want to push this on the next generation consoles, which I hope so, because then I can actually play it. But
yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm pretty sure it'd be too powerful for my computer.
Most things
are. What about your computer in 2 years, though?
My computer in 2 years will hopefully be working finally.
Is your computer not working?
I haven't figured out the graphics problem as yet. But every time I try to run a YouTube video or anything more intense than that, the graphics driver crashes.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe you just need a new video card.
I hope not. But at least it has a warranty on it.
Yeah. Well, hey, what you can do is wait until this game comes out and then get the latest graphics card, and then there you go. You can play it on PC.
Yeah, you don't need to do anything for the next year. Just sit there.
Yeah, just leave it alone. You don't need it.
All right, Sean, what's going on?
All right. Also, in other news that we thought was never going to happen, XSEED has decided to be crazy again and is bringing Pandora's Tower over here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited because... I'm not excited about the game. I'm just glad that this is actually happening. I'm glad that everyone who wanted, you know, Project Rainfall to succeed, it has now succeeded. After what, 2-3 years of them pleading with Nintendo,
yep.
And that just alone is pretty great news.
Yeah, it's just weird because I think through that whole thing, throughout all of Operation Rainfall, it was just
Operation, not Project.
It's like, all right, you know. Xenoblade and Last Story and I don't know. It sounds better if we have a third game. So Pandora's Tower, maybe.
Yeah, Pandora's Tower. That's besides like Disaster Day of Crisis and the Fatal Frame games we never got. There's really, I mean, like those don't really match with the Xenoblade and the Last Story. And plus, those are older games. So
yeah,
the chances
we could have gotten Captain Rainbow.
I have Captain Rainbow. I just need to use a translation guide.
Yeah, well, you need more than a translation guide to understand what's going on in that game.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm proud to announce right here, right now, that we have our 2013 Wii Game of the Year, Pandora's Tower. Congratulations. You win.
It's a little premature, I think.
No, Wii Game of the Year. I mean, what's the main competition here?
Fair.
Probably Madden 14.
We'll figure out by the end of the year if.
Hope it has that black box that the Japanese and European version got.
I don't think we will, but
I want the black box. I'm buying that game for the black box, and if I don't get that, like my pre-order.
I feel like it'll get the Last Story treatment with a nice like outer box and a soundtrack and art book and.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll probably sell well just based on the fact that everyone wanted it to come out here on principle.
Well, but I think it'll probably sell fairly well by XSEED standards by virtue of like XSEED standards being pretty low.
Like I said,
I love those guys.
And plenty of people buying it on principle.
Yeah.
I will not because it looks like God of War, and I don't care for that style of game usually.
I mean, the concept of the game freaks me out. I'm not sure
what the concept is. I don't know enough Japanese to tell that.
So okay, here's what this game is about.
Yeah.
There's this. I mean, I'm gonna go top level. There's this girl that gets like cursed and is turning into a monster. And you have to defeat all of these things in this, like, dungeon thing.
Is it a tower?
Yeah, kinda. It's unclear. But you have to defeat all these monsters in all these places to, like, cure her. But the longer it takes you, the worse she gets. And, like, the progression changes a little bit based on how terrible you are.
So she would never get cured from me.
Yeah. Well, she never will because you won't pick it up. But the one thing I will say about this announcement is the thing that I've seen people say that resonated the most with me is like, thanks XSEED for your commitment to losing large piles of money for our benefit.
Yeah.
Like I don't think this is going to be phenomenally successful. I think. It might do okay by XSEED standards. It'll probably sell better than Half Minute Hero.
yeah.
It'll probably sell better than Fishing Resort. So,
which was actually a decent game.
Yep, we reviewed it. It's pretty good. I mean, like it was like a big seller in Japan. So I don't know, but
we're not crazy about those fishing games. I guess.
Well, it depends, really.
We're not crazy about fishing games that are on the Wii published by XSEED.
Especially the Harvest Moon people.
Especially if we don't. Especially if we don't know they exist until the day they come out or after. Which was me. That was that person.
I was well aware that they were doing that weird thing. That
I didn't know it existed until I was told, "Hey, you're going to review this." I'm like, "What?
Yep.
What is this?" okay.
But for me, before they announced it, like I knew about the game, but it was always one of those like looking at Japanese sales charts, like what. Namco Bandai's random fishing game for the Wii is like number one seller for another week, really? But yeah, it's anyway. But yeah. I'm glad that
I'm happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, sure. Happy to see what XSEED announces next.
Pandora's Tower 2.
What?
No.
they're developing it. And they're developing it themselves. They're gonna announce it before the first one comes out.
Can they? Give us Trails in the Sky 2 first?
No.
Nope. No.
I know. I saw the reaction XSEED gave me on Twitter.
Yeah, programming and developing an entire sequel to Pandora's Tower is probably faster than translating the text for Trails 2.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tell them, Graham. You know enough, right?
No. No, I don't know enough to...
unless all of the characters just say like five words over and over again.
I can translate Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo, but
there you go. Translate.
It's written for 2-year-olds. I can handle.
Wait, was there English in Yoshi's Island, or was it just a bunch of Yoshi?
Yoshi.
Whoa.
I can't do that right now.
Are you the voice actor? Are you the guy who does the Yoshi voice?
Yeah, I secretly was when I was like.
Oh man.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what you do. You translate a kid's game that was never released in English, and then just take that and use that as the script for Trails in the Sky 2. Now, no one will notice the difference.
I will.
No.
Andrew probably won't, because you know.
Well, I won't play it, but I mean, I wouldn't.
Right. That's why he wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean, let's do one more item and then we can move on.
All right. Last item. Nvidia has decided to get into the console market, kind of. By giving us a portable Android-based gaming system.
Yeah. So this is weird.
Yes.
So what it is, a Project Shield is this thing that basically seems like a pretty hefty-sized controller, from what I can tell. Like kind of Dreamcast shaped in a way, because it's got
that. It reminded me of an uglier version of the Xbox 360 controller. Mm. But Dreamcast works too.
I'm just thinking because it has that like large area to like store the hardware in the bottom middle kind of, right?
Yeah.
But so it's got a screen on top and it folds up and down. It plays its own stuff that seems Android based, and then also streams stuff from your PC. So that's what this thing is. It's kind of unclear. I understand why they're doing it in a way.
I don't, but okay.
from all we can tell, AMD has the contracts on all the next generation consoles.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
I kind of get it then. All right.
Yeah. Which was not the case last gen, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty sure the Xbox 360 used NVIDIA.
Yeah. So that is one part of it. Two, they've been doing this big Tegra push. And like the Ouya is running on Tegra. Any of these Android systems are all running.
The Tegra, millions of tablets, them that are going to be coming out.
Yeah. But so, I mean, Project Shield is interesting. I mean, if they manage to pull it off well, if they can do low latency streaming, I mean, it's a big headache, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to pull it off, but I'd like for one company to do it right.
I mean, like you said, it's interesting, and I want them to succeed just because that is something that's cool, but the design of that thing is hideous, and I don't want to play games on it. That is my problem.
That's also true.
Yeah.
okay.
Well, I just want it to succeed so that we'll finally get all those iOS games on Android also.
Which Android?
Yeah.
That's the thing that frustrates me the most is this, like, all these sudden people saying, hey, no, we're going to do it. I was appreciating the Ouya because it was going to, like, unify this stuff, but I'm not sure.
Maybe Shield will be using the Ouya software. Maybe. Version?
Nope, probably. No.
Yeah. So, is it just we're going to be talking about consoles later, but just as a quick question, is anybody here getting the Ouya besides Graham? And I don't know if Graham is, because I'm just assuming he is because he buys everything that's new.
I am, and I believe Chris Ingersoll still is.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure Chris Rasko is as well.
Oh, okay. Well, we have our Ouya review staff.
Yes. Sean, you canceled yours, right?
I did because yeah. I wasn't going to have the $100 when it was going to come out of my account.
Yeah, but I mean, so also like,
yeah. So if it goes on sale to anyone other than backers, then I'll get it eventually, probably.
Right. I mean, you can pre-order it now, but I mean, at this point, you may just want to wait until it releases.
Yes, there's the game stick, which there's that thing.
There's the game stick, which runs the smart TV stuff, so you can play your smart TV games. I'm not convinced that that's going to work. Then again, that is guaranteed to have the things that are in smart TVs, which is something, maybe.
That's just a weird one.
But not like real games. Yeah. These are all like going to be designed to be run on like smart TVs with remotes.
How much is the Ouya? Isn't that like $100?
$100.
$100. $100.
And then the game stick is going to be like $70, I think.
I think it's $80.
$80? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you're looking for something inexpensive to hold you over until the actual next consoles come out, then I mean.
Or until Steam Box.
Oh, well, I think we'll be seeing that later.
Yeah, after consoles. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and move on and talk about some games, shall we?
Games.
Okay. So Andrew, let's start with you because you've been playing actual games that we can talk about that are new.
Yeah. I guess I can briefly talk about Anarchy Reigns. I haven't spent a ton of time with it, but it's. This is that game that I wanted to play last year, but Sega didn't want me to. And now I can play it. It's pretty good. It is good if you want a multiplayer brawler that's kind of similar to Mad World. Well, obviously Mad World would have multiplayer, but in terms of the basics of the combat and stuff, it's similar to Mad World, but in a multiplayer setting there are tons of different game modes. The battle arenas themselves have tons of crazy things happening in them. Some people compare it to Power Stone, but it's not like...
Yeah, it's not that.
Well, it's not. But, I mean, I guess it's the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, multiplayer Mad World, I think, works. Yeah. Especially considering multiplayer Mad World. What I would probably say is the protagonist of the game is the protagonist from Mad World.
Yes, he's one of the two.
One of the two, and if I had to lean toward one, he tends to get larger placement.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool character. But yeah, so that multiplayer stuff. Yeah, he is. He's cool. I'm like the one of five people who really, really liked Mad World. So that's one of the main reasons I was excited about this, because to me, I saw this as like, this is the Mad World with multiplayer.
It's Mad World, except for in a way that they could get it published.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they actually just made Mad World 2, nobody would care.
Except you would. Yeah.
Yes, but it would never come out here, so I would be sad.
Well, it would be unportable, so you'd be,
Oh, true. Yeah, true. Okay, so yeah, Anarchy Reigns. The multiplayer is the selling point here, and you know, if you're looking for a cool $30 multiplayer game, this is a lot of fun. My experience with the multiplayer I haven't spent a ton of time with it because the week it came out, I was kind of busy, and then the other game I'm going to talk about, Devil May Cry, came out, so I just haven't had a chance. But
yeah,
the maybe hour or so I've spent with the multiplayer is fun. I'm terrible at it, and so is everyone who starts playing that game, because the single player part of the game is more offensive based, as in you're just going to be punching people a lot and not worrying about defending all that much, aside from maybe a couple of boss battles. So multiplayer, everyone has these crazy abilities and they use them to the fullest they can. And if they actually know the game, they're probably gonna kill you many times.
The thing I think is most interesting about the multiplayer is that it seems to be more focused on some of the more peculiar modes. Yes, there's like the deathmatch, but it's more objective based. It's more like interesting game types as opposed to kill this guy and whoever's best at killing this guy wins. Like
those are the modes that I ended up gravitating towards more because they weren't about killing, and I could just like be okay at them and still die a lot, but that wasn't the point of the mode. So I didn't end up making my team lose because I died a lot. So like there's one I ended up playing a lot of, which is kind of like, I don't know how to I don't remember the name of it, but it's kind of like a football soccer type mode where you have to take this, basically have to take a ball into the goal, into a goal, and you do that by kind of like hitting it, and then as you're doing, of course, that's how you solve all the problems of this game, you just hit it. As you're doing that, you have to kind of like, you know, stop your opponents from scoring while you know it's a game of like soccer or football or whatever kind of sport, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and like you can be the guy who kind of just rushes towards the ball every time, but it's more fun if you kind of like see what the other team does and then kind of stay back, and then I was a good defender. I stopped the ball a lot with my face usually, but yeah. Like in real life.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that. There's a couple of other modes I never got to play. So my experience, if you want more on that, read Lucas's review, because it's a great review. But if you're looking for a single-player game, don't buy this game.
Yeah, don't do that.
The single-player is fine, but it's very bare bones, and it's basically like, we'll throw you in this giant world, you have to kill a bunch of people, and unlock missions where you kill more people, and then it's kind of boring, and story is dumb. I mean, like, not even dumb in, like, typical Platinum fashion, like Bayonetta or Vanquish, where it's just like, oh, this is dumb, but they're, you know, it's just kind of like,
it's actual dumb as opposed to
it's really,
dumb.
Really dumb. Yeah, exactly. It's dumb as in they try to take it way too seriously.
So, hey, like, if you want this game, but you'd rather have it be like a single player experience,
play Mad World.
Mad World.
I mean, Mad World is more focused on scoring points and getting like crazy kill combos, and it's way more violent than this game, than Anarchy Reigns. But
I mean, you can find it for like $1.50 now.
Yeah.
So
you could probably just find copies on the street laying all over the place. Yeah. So just pick one of those up and play it.
Yeah.
Assuming you still own a Wii, you know, it's worth it. But yeah, I am enjoying the multiplayer, at least the whole play of it.
Cool.
And then of course the big game, at least of the month so far, is Devil May Cry. DMC Devil May Cry, I should say.
Okay. Wait.
How recursive.
You didn't pronounce that M lowercase.
Okay. D M C Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Is that good?
Close enough, go ahead.
I'm just gonna call it Devil May Cry for sake of simplicity here. This is of course the much anticipated, well beloved Devil May Cry that every Devil May Cry fan was excited about from the moment it was announced.
Right.
The game that everyone wanted, you know.
I remember something like or the opposite of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact opposite. But, you know, in a better world, this would have been the Devil May Cry game that people should have got excited about and not.
Well, you know, I think people being pleasantly surprised by it is a fine outcome.
Yes. Let me approach this by saying I love half of the Devil May Cry games. That is 1 and 3. Those are the good ones.
Okay.
2 and 4, not good. And if the series continued on the path that 4 was going, then 5 might have just been another average brawler that said Devil May Cry on it.
No, so, that's 6.
Yeah. Okay, that would have been 6. So 5 would have been the good one?
Right.
Okay.
This is the good one. It's fine.
Yes, okay. So if they continued making those games, then I think the series, I think even the fans would have just been like, eh, whatever, at that, after like another couple of those. So I'm glad they turned to a different developer and they're taking like an entirely different approach.
Yeah.
And I love Ninja Theory, and by that I mean I love Enslaved. Heavenly Sword was not that great, but I appreciated what that game was trying to do. But
fair.
Enslaved was great in a lot of ways. Sean will agree with me on that.
Yes, it was pretty good.
It was a lot of fun. It was kind of simplistic in terms of combat and platforming, but it told a great story, and it kind of showed that Ninja Theory is a capable developer that can make games more than just God of War ripoffs. So yay, Enslaved. So I came into Devil May Cry thinking this could be good. This is their approach to Devil May Cry, even if it's a little different. I, unlike most of the internet, am willing to give it a chance. And yeah, it is a lot of fun. It basically takes the idea of turning these very ordinary kind of plain looking environments and kind of turning them inside out and twisting them to basically the developer's will in a way. Like you're in just an ordinary building, and then when Dante, the main character Dante, enters Limbo.
Okay.
Yes, main character. Not side character Dante. When he pretty much every level involves him being sent into Limbo because the demons are attacking him, and since he's a half demon half angel thing, he can go into Limbo and actually survive and fight the demons. So every level takes place in Limbo, and it kind of transforms the different environments in these really really cool ways. Like not just in terms of the actual physical environment, like how you have to maneuver around it and stuff, and how the enemies are presented to you, but in terms of the visual style, like it really shows that Ninja Theory has a ton of creative people over there, and they just love to take these kind of otherwise boring and ordinary environments and just twist them around in really cool ways. So that is one of the most striking things about it. And the actual combat is a little slower than previous games, but it is still a ton of fun, and there's a lot of variety. You have like 8 different weapons, including 3 guns and 5 melee weapons, and you can switch between them on the fly. You know, as fast as you can press a button. Basically, you can switch between all of them, and you can chain up all these different combos.
Okay, how fast can you press a button?
Pretty fast.
Okay.
And as I continued to play this game, I was able to press the buttons even faster. At first, I was terrible, and I ended up just relying on like 1 or 2 basic weapons because trying to switch between them. Like once you get like more than just 3 of them, trying to switch between them on the fly became kind of a more of a difficult task than I was willing to put the effort into. And I was just like, I could just use these other weapons, and the other weapons I've been using, and I'll be okay. But once you actually start like training yourself to switch more weapons on the fly and kind of try different combos, there's a lot to that this game. I think more so than the previous Devil May Cry, at least in terms of the variety. So yeah, a lot of fun. The story is, again, to bring up the word dumb, it's dumb, but in a good way.
Dumb.
Yes, yeah. Dumb. it is dumb. It takes itself a little too seriously at times, but I think those moments work well. And they work well in certain scenarios, and others they don't. But it's not like cringeworthy, like, oh, you guys just had to go there. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, so cool. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Looks great, and I want people to. I want this game to succeed because I want this franchise to be successful again, because DMC4 not only did not sell that well, it also just wasn't a good game. It wasn't a good Devil May Cry game. It wasn't a good action game.
Yeah.
It was barely a game. It was half a game.
Well, speaking of barely a game, I've been playing some this week.
you have been, yes, you've been waking up this week.
Yeah. So let me first say I've been spending most of my week playing a game I can't talk about. We'll get to that next week. I will tell you all about the game. You know?
Yes, I'm excited to hear these thoughts about this game that I know about, but I can't say.
Yeah.
You know, that game.
Yeah, that one. But I can tell you about Wake Up Club.
Please do.
So, Wake Up Club is a game where you wake up.
Is it?
It's an app.
Okay.
It's an app where you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit the button.
And then you join a club?
No, you're already in the club.
Oh, okay.
By downloading it, you are joining Wake Up Club. Just
no, by setting the alarm, you join the club.
Okay.
And then you wake up, and you hit the button, and then all the people in the club wake up. And if you're the first to wake up, you get a trophy. That's the thing. If you wake up on time, like a number of times in a row, you get a trophy. There's lots of trophies. You can get some trophies in this game. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a game, right? Trophies.
I'm starting to think the trophies are unregulated.
So you can cheer for people to wake up.
Ooh.
What if you don't want
them
to wake
up before them? You want them to. It gets you trophies. So.
Oh, if they wake up, you get trophies too?
I think if everybody wakes up, then you get a trophy. I think that's one of the trophies.
What if everybody doesn't wake up? Do you get a trophy for that too?
No.
Okay.
That's the mass genocide of the human race is what you're.
Oh God! Oh no!
There should be a trophy for that.
Maybe if the Vita is this like alien device that's designed to like monitor us until the right time, at which point it will kill everyone who owns a Vita, then that might stop Wake Up Club from working. But also, it wouldn't be quite as effective as they intended because not many people have a Vita.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's no indication that I'm aware of that Wake Up Club has anything to do with that. It's just, in all honesty, a pretty cool clock. You can set it sometimes to make it look like other games, like Journey or Tokyo Jungle or something dumb. And you can set an alarm, and it sounds pretty good. If you want to keep your Vita beside your bed and use it as an alarm, especially if you have like a little dock, it's pretty cool. It's probably like super, like, power hungry. If you're just leaving your Vita on all the time,
so you should probably put it on like a charger. Also.
Well, you should absolutely. There's no way you're gonna sleep without it being on a charger.
Okay.
I can't imagine. Well, okay. maybe if it goes to sleep, I don't know.
You might wake up though.
That's what I want to know. Like even if the system goes to sleep, because usually when you have to turn the system back on
from
sleep mode, you have to do that little swipe thing to actually.
It will wake itself up at the time. I was worried about that because I'd be like, how does this work otherwise?
So the Vita joins the Wake Up Club too, and it's always the first to wake up.
You know, you're right. The Vita should get a trophy for itself.
That's cheating though.
Nah, I mean, look, it earns it.
You know what I want to do? I want to wake up before the Wake Up Club wakes me up and turn off the Vita and say, ha, I win this game of life. And then you throw the Vita out the window.
How would anyone know?
But why would you throw the Vita out the window?
Because I won.
You're not going to get a trophy for that, Andrew.
No, you won't.
Man.
That's like the opposite of getting a trophy. That's throwing away all your other trophies, too.
Your neighbor could get a trophy.
Well, if I throw the Vita out the window and it ends up in his yard, then he gets all the trophies.
Right.
And a Vita. So
he's the one that dies when Vitas take over the human race.
Yeah, see, I'm saving myself also.
Okay.
All right. So we've discovered your scheme, Sony. You can't fool us with your Wake Up Club.
Yeah.
Is this a thing I should download if I'm a person with a Vita?
If you're a person with a Vita who occasionally might need it like on travel or something, if you would set your phone as an alarm or something like that, set your Vita as an alarm. It's much like you can choose a very pleasant tone. It's kind of fun to like wake up to, hey, wake up, look, you won, look, here are all your friends. Like it's a very pleasant alarm. And
so,
also you get trophies.
Yes. Yeah,
so. Here's a very important question. Can you set it to do Persona 4 Golden?
I don't believe so, at least not yet.
That's no sale for me then.
I know there are downloadable clocks. So
I was gonna say, is this gonna have like downloadable stuff?
Yeah, it's free. There's a pack of extra things I know you can get right now. Okay. But like it comes with like again like Journey and Tokyo Jungle and fun stuff. So
I like fun stuff.
Yeah.
So does this make you excited to wake up?
It is much more pleasant than my other alarm. And it's like I have an alarm clock like I got back in college.
Yeah.
When it was super important that I have an alarm set for different times of day.
Is it the default kind of annoying buzzing alarm noise?
Yeah, beep beep beep, yeah. Beep, 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 beep. That one. Yeah. So this is way more pleasant than that. That's and good. Like the Vita has good speakers, so like
yeah.
I don't know, like
that'll wake you up.
Like it may be our quote unquote game of the year.
Uh-oh.
It's a front runner.
Calling it. We're doing our job early this year. We already named the Wii and
let's
the
just pack
Vita.
It up. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Guys.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we don't need the other consoles. Don't matter. Those are the two.
Yeah,
the original Wii and the Vita.
Yeah,
that's what everyone's playing these days, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So people can use Wake Up Club and wake up, and then they can play Pandora's Tower on the Wii, and that's all you need for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, if you get bored of Pandora's Tower, just go to sleep.
Just go to sleep so you can wake up again.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
In fact, you can set a one time alarm in Wake Up Club. You can just wake up like in an hour.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right.
You can play Wake Up Club exactly how long you want to play it. Yeah, I want to play it in 7 minutes.
Man.
You'll have a 7 minute wake up.
You could sink a lot of hours into this game.
Super cut. Yeah. Wow. So many hours.
Yeah.
And you feel so good afterwards. It's just a really enriching, relaxing kind of experience. It's even more so than Journey. Like Journey was nice and relaxing and soothing, but Wake Up
Club
is so soothing.
Are you saying Wake Up Club is this year's Journey?
Yeah.
Is this the new benchmark in which all downloadable games will be?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that it didn't come out before I got sick. I could have put a lot of hours into it there.
I know. You would have been Wake Up Club champion.
So many hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
Well,
into
except for the
and
first...
then I might have known what day it was each
and
day.
And minutes and seconds.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Man. You know what? I just want to play Wake Up Club now. I think I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Are we going to talk about our topic, though?
I thought our topic was going to sleep for Wake Up Club.
Yeah, I thought we were just going to talk about Wake Up Club.
Okay.
I mean, I guess we can do that first, and then we can all go to sleep.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So before we take our naps, let's talk about consoles and specifically new consoles.
I like new consoles.
The ones that are probably going to come out this year. But I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Also, like, the Wii U is here.
Okay.
I have it. I haven't.
Hey. We can talk about the Wii U as well.
Is that still new? It came out like 3 months ago.
The launch window is still happening, so yes.
Yeah. The launch window happens until we get the Wonderful 101, so...
Yeah. Pikmin 3, right? Or was that moved? That was moved for the launch window.
Both of those were moved out of the launch window.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I
still trust Nintendo when they say that's coming out in the launch window. So whenever that comes out, that's the launch
window. So in at the end of the summer when Pikmin 3 comes out, that'll be the end of the launch window. And
I feel like we still won't have the Wonderful 101.
All right. So all right. So I mean, we
both of those come out the same day.
We can talk about. If you want to talk about the Wii U real quick, we can.
No, we don't need to.
I think it'd be more like do we basically do we think the Wii U will do better? Will continue to do as well, or will do worse this year. I mean,
we need any information on the next consoles. Also, we need any information on games that are releasing for that we didn't already know about.
For the Wii U?
Yep.
Yes, we do. We need games for the Wii U.
Like, look, Pikmin 3 is going to be pretty
alright.
Wonderful 101, maybe not. It's too early to tell on that.
Yes, and then there's a couple of, you know...
Game
&
Wario is going to be subpar, probably.
Rayman Legends.
Rayman Legends is game of the year for the Wii.
Yeah,
we can just like I. That's not even.
Oh,
that's not even a joke. Like,
oh, not
what?
All right.
Rayman Legends. I played four whole levels of that game. That's the best game.
All right.
It almost won Game of the Year last year.
That's right. It was really close.
So, we'll talk about that again in
the demo almost
11 months. But
So, Rayman Legends, and then they just recently they announced that we got LEGO City Undercover coming out in March, and
best
then Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And then Monster Hunter coming out like 2 days later or something ridiculous like that.
The next day.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're complaining about games to play on your Wii U.
Yeah, hey, but don't worry, Nintendo's spacing them out. You don't have to worry. It's not like they're releasing LEGO City Undercover, Monster Hunter for the 3DS 2, and Luigi's Mansion in 7 days.
Well,
they're not releasing all those at the same time. No, and don't worry. Wait. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
They're probably also going to put Harmonite on the eShop that week.
Probably. And I mean, it's not like there's other games coming out in March, so why not?
But hey, Tokyo Crash Mobs. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That came out. So, like, you know, you can play that.
So we're set until then.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Tokyo Tori
2 is coming out for the Wii U in the end of the month. We'll have a review of that, actually. But that's a game that you can play on your Wii U. So
all right.
That's my opinion. Tokyo Tori 2. We finally get a sequel to that game that we've had remakes for
10 years?
Since 1999. Yeah.
all those years. All right. So,
we'll talk about
the Wii U. So, I mean, yeah. just to sum up, like, I would like to see, I think everyone has been saying this is the next GameCube for Nintendo. Like, it's going to do okay.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Well, they do tend to have good system, then bad sales, then good sales, then bad sales.
Also, I'm pretty sure it's going to have Pac-Man versus Zone at some point.
Please, let's make it happen. I mean, it kind of already does.
Well, Luigi's Ghost Mansion is close, but it's the dynamics a little different. But yeah, like obviously, like the first thing Namco Bandai puts out with Pac-Man license on it, I wouldn't be surprised if either it's a standalone downloadable or if it's like part of an enhanced port of like Pac-Man Championship Edition DX or something. Like this one also has Pac-Man versus in it. You know,
I will pay for that.
Yeah.
New edition of Pac-Man Championship Edition DX because that game is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what would really make this the GameCube is giving us a Bait and Kato's game.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take it.
All right.
I'll tell Nintendo.
Yeah, call them up.
I will.
All right. So I think the Wii U, I think, will continue to do as well as it has done. Maybe a little better, a little less better than that.
Yeah.
Yes, those are words I said. I don't know where I was going with
most
that.
Most of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think we've talked the Wii U to death by this point.
Yeah, let's talk about the other stuff.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So, Microsoft. Let's talk about Microsoft first.
Yeah.
I mean, the 360 is on its way to becoming probably the best-selling console of the generation. I mean, still got a little ways to go before it passes the Wii, but
yeah,
it's only 3 million behind. But yeah,
I think it'll come close.
I think it will too, which would have been unthinkable. What, 18 months ago?
Let's say think one more time.
I don't think about it. Yeah.
Right.
No, but I mean, the 360 is continuing to do well for Microsoft. And
yeah.
I think the excitement for the Kinect, I'll say the excitement for the Kinect for people who just see the Kinect and be like, oh, cool, another thing that's like the Wii, except you don't need the controller. And they just run out and buy it anyway. I think that's kind of dried up.
Yeah, but I do think that it has created this market of people who can pick it up and, like, instead of getting a Wii or instead of getting a Wii, like, so it has, basically the one problem that it had before the Kinect was that there was not really kid-friendly software on the 360.
Sure. There was, but it was.
I mean, like, Viva Pinata, Banjo-Kazooie, but this is more for, like, hey, I'll get the kids a Wii. No, I'll get the kids a 360 so that I can also play Halo. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So, like it's the excuse system, basically.
Yeah.
And also, it has allowed Microsoft to, in the wild, test out these Kinect ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That clearly, that their next system is going to have, like, by default, a Kinect.
I think at the very least, there will be at least a bundle, if not multiple bundles, of the next Xbox, and most of those will have a Kinect.
I feel like all the bundles. I feel like it will be standard so that they don't have to worry about an adoption rate of the Kinect. Okay. I think they're just
that would make sense, especially if they really want to focus on that. Because I feel like this generation was them throwing out the Kinect, seeing like who grabs onto that, and then not actually saying this is the future of motion gaming. It's them more like, this is an idea of what the future of motion gaming could be like. Please buy it.
Yeah.
And people did. And now they're like, all right, now we can move and make the actual future of motion gaming.
And there were some things about the original Kinect that were hamstrung by the design of the original 360.
Yeah, definitely.
So that, it could only send it back at a certain resolution, or else basically the system couldn't actually perform any actions.
Yeah.
if you made, a super, super, super simple game, it could send it full resolution, but, that wasn't what people were doing.
Yeah.
There's a lot they can do there, and I do think the next Kinect will be able to, recognize fingers and hand gestures.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be great.
And I think that the whole they kind of started doing the object scanning thing with the Kinect Fun Labs. I think that'll kind of be expanded upon, too.
Yeah.
Probably.
The one thing I'm less excited about from Microsoft is simply that, Sony does this and Nintendo absolutely does this. They develop games for years to show off their new hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft doesn't really develop its own games. It does, but not really.
And especially this past generation, they kind of just stopped. I mean, aside from Kinect stuff, they kind of just stopped.
Right. They didn't really have it for the. I mean, they bought some studios for the original Xbox because otherwise no one would have developed for the original Xbox. But yeah. I mean, it wasn't like they had a lot of movement there either. But through the 360's lifespan, they're not really. I mean, I don't think they're going to make Fable 4.
No, probably not.
I mean, maybe. Actually,
I don't know.
They made Fable the Journey. That was super dumb. So
they have slapped the Fable name on some stupid things. So
pub games and
pub games and that
heroes.
I think yes, this generation they definitely haven't relied so much on first party outside of big stuff like Gears, which obviously was a huge hit for them.
Yeah,
kind of now rivals Halo is the premier Microsoft franchise.
Well. I mean, not first party, but yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah.
But exclusive Microsoft published stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, the 360 kind of became the go-to console for third parties, and that's fine because they pretty much, aside from the Wii, which kind of, having this discussion, the Wii kind of is in its own little bubble.
Yeah.
Between just the 360 and the PS3, the 360 just kind of dominated the PS3 early on. It never really... there was that time when the PS3 kind of jumped ahead a little, but then the Kinect came out, and then
I think PS3 has done very well for itself in the late game, but especially creatively, if not in sales.
So I mean, I think what Microsoft didn't need to do was focus on exclusives,
right?
First party exclusives. So, but with the next console, I feel like they kind of have to because, I mean. I don't know. I feel like when you're launching a new console, especially if both of these are going to come out around the same time.
Yeah, they'll have something. I think. I think they will launch with basically a new Kinect Sports.
Okay.
And they'll have that as their first party thing.
Okay.
They'll release some unknown core thing. I don't think a new Halo is going to be ready. I don't think a new Gears is going to be ready.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like maybe it is Fable 4. Maybe that's the team that they have working on something. They have some B-tier regular game that they're making. Yeah. Have a Kinect Sports game. But then the new Xbox launch is, I think, almost inevitably going to be, look at this new engine version of Madden and look at this new engine version of Call of Duty. That's it.
Yeah, and those the last generation, that's what people bought those games on, the 360.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I think that could work, but at the same time, Let's just assume that both consoles are going to launch within the same month, and no matter which console launches first.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think when you launch a new console, you need that big game. I don't think brand recognition is enough. I don't think people will say this is the next Xbox. I'm going to buy this because I played on the 360 because that didn't work for the PlayStation. Of course, PlayStation had the pricing thing kind of standing in its way too. But
yeah, let's be clear, that was definitely it. Plus, with the head start of the 360, anybody who walked into a store, not only was it cheaper, it had games on it.
Yeah, exactly. It had good games on it too.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, but if both, I think both systems are going to be coming out around the same time, or at least it's definitely a possibility. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I
wouldn't be surprised if also it launched with, say, Forza 5 or something to really show off.
Oh yeah, I think
I
wouldn't be surprised if the Forza team has took the last year off so they could make the next gen Forza game. That's why we got Horizon last year.
Right.
So I mean, Yeah, I don't know. I think they need something. I think they need something stronger than Kinect Sports. I mean, whether or not we'll get that,
they're gonna. Yeah, I feel like they won't. But what they'll do is they'll like, from the rumblings I've heard, and I don't know if any of this is true because the rumors have been going crazy back and forth. But the rumblings I've heard is Microsoft has had its development kit out a while.
Yeah.
Longer than Sony has. Like a few years now. So that.
Yeah.
The entire goal was to have it so that like the native, like lead development platform stuff for like Call of Duty and Madden, like it will be the most worked on edition. And if they launch at the same time, the new PlayStation launches at the same time, it might have Madden, it might have Call of Duty, but it will be the ports that are subpar that the PS3 has been getting, even though it was a more powerful system. So I mean that part I think is rough.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think that it's definitely a very high possibility that this transition for people who play on 360, those games on 360 will be very easy for people who are just like, I want to play the nicer looking versions of these.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what the 360 did. The 360, yeah. 360. What were the big launch lineup games? When we're talking about like Cameo, I don't know.
Cameo, Perfect Dark, and Call of Duty.
And then it was that they were launching with Call of Duty and like Need for Speed Most Wanted, like the first one.
Exactly.
So yeah, like that's what they were doing.
That's true. Yeah.
On the other hand, Sony. Let's talk about Sony because I think they're a little more interesting.
Definitely. Like in terms of
software.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual hardware, both systems will probably be very, very similar. It's hard to say whether Microsoft will adopt their own new media format, or they'll just adopt Blu-ray. I think they'll go Blu-ray, even though they're basically giving money to their competitor. I think Blu-ray is
I mean, I think this will be the time where they do it because they're not fighting for their own format anymore.
Yeah.
And like also they're going to be heavily pushing this like Windows 8 style interface. And they're going to have like the Kinect navigable menus with the ads everywhere and more streaming services and more smart glass stuff. Like that's just where they're going to go.
And multimedia stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, Sony's going to make software?
Yeah, oh yeah, Sony's actually going to make games.
And they'll be like playable?
Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. Like what I was trying to say is the hardware I think is going to be way more similar this time around than it was with the last two consoles, because the PlayStation will probably be much easier to develop and port to. I don't think we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like the Vita was. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see as many of those like really bad ports.
Yeah.
That we saw for the PS3. We'll probably see lesser.
Lesson learned on that one, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, we'll see. Like you said, we'll see lesser quality versions of maybe the first Madden for those consoles and maybe the first Call of Duty. But it'll
basically be just like we got with the Wii U.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we just haven't had enough time with the system, but not to the point that the
PS3
had it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think technology wise, both will be very, very interesting to see. Like, if you're going to look at one, you'll be basically looking at the other outside of interface stuff and the games,
right?
Which is the most exciting part, because I think Sony has they have learned a lot from this, like a ton, because they not only have they learned, hey, we can't just name recognition doesn't work if we sell our system for $600. They also learned, hey, we need games.
Yeah, though they have done that part well, I think.
Yes.
But so the one thing that we can't really talk about, that like I like speculating as to like what will be the launch titles on these new systems to really kind of get a sense of like, but Microsoft doesn't have studios. But Sony, I think, is more interesting. You know.
I mean, I think they could. I mean, let's talk about their core franchises from the PS3. The PS3 area there that actually succeeded. We got Uncharted. We have Infamous, and I succeeded.
Well, let's go studio by studio. I feel like that's more important, right? Because you got to think who's had time to do anything. Because it's been a year since Uncharted, but they've been working on The Last of Us, so there's no way they'd have like a holiday 2013.
I mean, they have two teams, but I think, like you said, yeah,
I don't think it's a launch lineup title. I just
Uncharted
don't see that
launch.
Yes,
that'd be the worst. Let's show off the new tech with what? What is this that we're making?
Yeah,
plus okay, I think so, United Front is their default kart racer team from now on.
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, all right, so Naughty Dog probably a no-show at launch. Sucker Punch,
we could absolutely see, like, Infamous 3.
Infamous 3, yes,
And that seems, one, they've had enough time. Mm-hmm. Two, that seems like exactly the project you'd fast track to get it launched, and that the developer would want to fast track it to get attention.
Yeah.
You know, like, with few exceptions, generally your launch title is, oh, okay, like, for example, like, we're going to rush out, like, it was supposed to be like a Pikmin game, or we're going to rush out, you know, Luigi's Mansion, or we're going to, you know, like, it's typically, like, for example, we didn't get Super Mario Galaxy at launch, or we didn't get, like, Halo 3 wasn't, was Halo 3 at the 360 launch?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it came out right before the PS3.
Right. So, like, that was not the title they launched with, because they wanted to make sure that got right. Mm-hmm. Infamous, it feels like you could make sure Infamous gets out.
Yeah, I mean, I said,
it could be good, but it's not.
I think if there's any, especially if you want to demonstrate your technology, an open world action game with crazy superpowers, that is one way to show off, hey, our new system is nice and shiny, and look at all these cool things you can do with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Infamous seems like that game. I mean, Uncharted could be, but again, they haven't had enough time.
Yeah,
probably,
I feel like they're not ready.
Media
Molecule is working on something that is not that tiny project from the tier.
Oh, for the Vita.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I feel like that would be an interesting launch. I'm gonna say launch window, maybe, unless they set it up as like, this is your family friendly game. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, will probably be family friendly, creative.
So do you think this will be a new thing or more Little Big Planet?
I feel like it'll probably be a new thing, just because how much time they've been working on it. But I mean, it's entirely possible that they play it safe and make it Little Big Planet 3.
Because I mean, if it's Little Big Planet, that would be a good way to show off kind of online features of the system at launch or close to it, you know.
Yeah.
Because Little Big Planet to me has always been more like, again, the creation stuff, but of course sharing that online, playing that online with friends,
yeah,
you know, exploring different user created levels, and assuming their online infrastructure is better than it is, you know, with the PS3, which I would like to think it will be, they have a good chance of saying, like, you know, look at what we're doing compared to Microsoft, and look how impressive this is. And this Little Big Planet, again, this is the game that shows that part of the system off.
True.
So, I mean, that could be, again, that could be something entirely new, but still have those, like, that creative hook where it's like you create something in it and you share it with friends. But
yeah. And you know what they could also launch with? A new Gran Turismo.
Or maybe a Turismo demo.
Yeah, they could. Gran Turismo 6 Prologue.
Yep.
That's entirely possible.
Or Gran Turismo 5 Epilogue, you know.
Gran Turismo 5 Plus.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I know they're making a new one, but...
Well, see, that's the thing, too, is I think we will see some, like, quasi-additions brought to the system.
Oh, you mean like updates of the latest PS3 versions of games?
Possibly, I think. That could absolutely be the case.
Yeah, I think, in Gran Turismo, I mean, again, that last gen didn't have as much success as it hasn't had in the past, but...
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, they do, like, Little Big Planet 2 Plus instead of a new Little Big Planet, yeah. Like, have it use all the same sharing tools, but just have some features that only the PS3 can do in some way.
I mean, that would be a good,
like,
thing to launch
something
with.
That's more of like a community than like an Infamous. Like, it'd be weird to have Infamous 2 Plus. Like, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But something that's more of like, yeah, you want to play this game, or mm-hmm. even like an enhanced version of All Stars Battle Royale or something. Something that seems like something that people would want to have on the system. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and during launch, I can speak to this because I'm one of those people. During launch, when you buy a new system, you want games on it. And yeah. even sometimes you end up buying games that don't look great, but they're kind of just like, you know, I want something new to play on this. So that'll happen. So the chances of those doing better on the new system than they did on the old system, like especially for PlayStation All Stars, I think that could work. But
yeah,
with Little Big Planet, if they do Little Big Planet 2 Plus or whatever you want to call it, then that could be like a side thing they've been working on. And then the following year they'll follow it up with whatever their original product is.
Right,
because I'm thinking, like, if there's something original, I'm not sure if they would want to launch with that. I mean, sure. Maybe, but I think, unless
it's something built around some new features of the system, that's a thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that either of these new systems is going to bring a new like gameplay altering feature to the system. I mean, besides the 360 having like wider acceptance of Kinect, like, do we think we're gonna like are the controllers going to be like have something else added to them? Or are they going to like?
I think they play it safe. I mean, I think Microsoft is going to focus again more on media stuff. They're going to focus on like this isn't game related, but they're going to focus more on making the next Xbox.
I think we're lucky if Microsoft announces a game for the Xbox. It's just
it's just going to launch with
it's their media device. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, and eventually you'll get games, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they could do that. I mean, hey, one crazy thing they could do is have no first party games at launch and just say like third parties, have fun, you know, Call of Duty, Madden, and then here's all your media stuff.
I think they would have to put out something Kinect based, and that's why I think. But like besides that, yeah, like Call of Duty, Madden, and then we have your Kinect game.
Yeah.
Because no one else seems to make Kinect games that work, so maybe just let them do it.
Yeah, but they've been experimenting with smart glass. I don't think that's gonna do anything new, but that'll be interesting to see where that goes in the next system. I don't know.
Playlists for Dance Central. That's I would have had to hit buttons,
man,
and scroll.
Who needs buttons when you can just use a touchscreen?
Right.
Yeah,
that's better buttons.
I think in terms of like the actual design of the controllers, I think they're going to be very similar.
Yeah.
I think what the PlayStation controller will be a little different, but I think they've stuck so long to that design, that like that core design since the original system, the original PlayStation.
It's very comfortable, you guys.
It's really nice. Just fix those triggers and we'll be good to go, you know?
Do you think it'll have rumble and motion in it this time to start off with? Or is that technically impossible again?
Yeah, if it has full backward compatibility with the PS3, it needs to have motion in it. Otherwise, I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah, Sony still has the Move. Did you see any of those crazy patents for whatever the next potential iToy could be, or whatever their next crazy?
I mean, that'd be great. I don't think it's gonna happen because
Sony just patents everything.
Yeah, Sony does patent everything. That's true.
Yeah,
it was like, let's get a patent for this. We may or may not ever use it.
But I mean, they have a staff that is working on these things, whether they monetize them or not. So.
I think Sony doesn't focus on doing anything crazy. I think they will definitely focus more on games and maybe mostly on games for the next system. They're obviously still gonna, you know, have a big push for the media stuff too. So that's kind of where the consoles are heading.
They'll probably expand the season pass thing.
Season passes are kind of like those are third party things mostly. Like obviously it's not just a Sony thing.
I think Sony will expand their first party one to cover pretty much everything. I think.
Well,
I don't think they called it a season pass.
It was just their
$10 fee if you buy it used.
Okay. I don't think that's Sony specific though.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
I just don't see them doing anything extravagant. Or anything that will be about anything but games and just.
Here's the thing, though. I'd be okay if they did.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like when things are interesting.
I just envision seeing another E3 conference where they talk about the Vita being your rear view mirror for the next racing game.
I have a stand for it. It'd be great.
I'm just waiting for them to talk about Wonderbook again at E3.
Well, here. Look, if they make a steering wheel that has like a dock at the top of it where your rearview mirror would go, and you could put a Vita in it, how about that? You could adjust your Vita, and it would motion sensor and know that you're adjusting your mirror because it's like a mirror.
Hey, Andrew, I can tell you, there's a lot of people that actually do buy those wheels.
Oh no, I know people buy the wheels. I'm saying I don't care.
But then you get to use your Vita for something other than waking up.
But I'm okay with just the wake up part. I'm okay with just having a club for waking up. That's all. You know what? I don't need the Vita for anything else. That's fine. That's all I need. Sony make wake up club for the PlayStation 4. Make an advanced version of that. There we go.
System stuff. Right.
All right. There we go. I mean, you have to sleep next to your TV, or you have your TV on all night or something. I don't know.
Well, just have it be a PS4 app that just does remote play on your Vita.
Oh, there you go. All
right. That's better than just having it on your Vita, right?
Okay, so Wake Up Club 2, confirmed launch title for PlayStation 4.
Isn't that like Fall Asleep Club? Actually, that would be the best.
I would play Fall Asleep Club.
Whoa, wait a minute. What if it was a thing that helped you go to sleep and wake you up?
Oh, man. Megaton. Okay. Megaton. E3. We'll see it. It'll just be like Sony will literally just hypnotize the audience at E3 and then wake them up with the new Wake Up Club. And then it'll be like, see, now you want a new PlayStation. And everyone just like cheers and that's the end.
Okay.
I've envisioned it. This is how it will be.
Okay, we'll see.
So, I mean, just going back to other first-party stuff, you know, Media Molecule will have something, then Sucker Punch. I think Infamous 3, definitely a good fit for the launch. Insomniac isn't a Sony studio, really, but they're always, even though they're doing something for EA now and doing something on other consoles, do you think they might get back together with
Knowing Insomniac, they, I believe, had two teams in California.
Yeah, they have multiple teams.
And they had been putting the Ratchet games out in North Carolina, down the road from me. But so their Fuse team, and they're working on something else besides Fuse, and the Ratchet games weren't taking over that. So I feel like they probably will have something.
So you think the other Insomniac team, besides the Ratchet team, which is what I'm just going to call them now, because that's basically what they are.
They are.
So do you think that other team is making a PS3 exclusive or something that's on both consoles?
Well, I think they're working on something because they've been quiet for we haven't heard anything except for
we're working on something.
Fuse stuff. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's something at least like a big announcement that may be multi-platform but gets announced at one of these events.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like I'm thinking if they're making something, I mean, aside from Ratchet, their franchise, I mean, like they're done with Resistance, and Ratchet was their other big PlayStation exclusive franchise that they still work on. And I'm sure that will.
I could see them having a new full Ratchet.
That would be great if it was actually good.
Well, they had a small Ratchet game, you know. So like it feels like maybe they were saving up to work on something else.
I would love a new Ratchet game that's actually good. I want one of those again. A Crack in Time, one of my favorite games of this generation. So. Please make something like that again, please. Although I do think they should take a break from Ratchet. I'm gonna just change the tone here. Take a break from Ratchet and then come back. And do it.
I have three teams that are working on games that I want to see what you guys think are the probability that they would come out at launches.
Okay.
Respawn's game.
Yes.
Entirely possible that is a centerpiece of the new Xbox launch. That feels.
Bungie's new game.
Yes. I don't know. I think that's possible.
That would be more likely to be multi-platform.
It's definitely multi-platform. It's just whether that comes out. I don't think that's coming out this year.
Mm. All right. Then Last Guardian. Come on, guys. They're supposedly still working on it.
Yeah, that's true. It'll come out right after Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Hey, that's they're supposed to still working on that too.
Those two guys can totally switch gears and make it for next gen systems as soon as someone remembers they exist and sends them a devil.
poor Last Guardian.
Yeah. Cool. That was the first PS3 game I was excited about.
Hopefully the last PS3 game you're excited about, because
probably so.
And the first PS4 game you're excited about, according to you. So there you go.
I don't think so. I think it's only on the Vita.
Only on the Vita? All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just fine with that. It's a beautiful screen.
But real quick before we move on, just one more thing with the PlayStation. Downloadables. I guess we could talk about this with Microsoft too, with the Xbox Live Arcade. But like Sony really, really, really did a fantastic job last year with getting indies onto their platform and indie exclusives.
The Pub Fun thing has been huge for them.
Yes. So, I mean, do you think they will launch with a healthy selection of new downloadables for the next system?
I think they'll launch with a slate. It feels to me like, especially Sony would, with the PubFun staff they have in place, I think they would coordinate, here's what we're going to have, much like the Wii U did, with five? Maybe, was it five? I think it was five.
Like
solid games. Some of them were ports, some of them were original, and then it worked out really well. I think we're going to get something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Sony itself is working on a downloadable of some sort. Even if it's like, you know, say another tiny team at Media Molecule made a little thing, or like I think we're gonna have like what's the Patapon team been up to?
I don't know. Working on the Vita thing, working on something for the Vita.
Maybe they're like doing Puppeteer or something. I don't know what's going on.
Actually, they might be doing Puppeteer.
It is Japan Studio, but I don't know what parts of it that studio teach.
It's usually just advertised as Japan Studio. So it's like, oh, okay, so I guess all of Japan,
all of Japan works for Sony. I don't know if you remember that.
Wow, I
had a friend move there. Now he works for Sony. It's really complicated for tax reasons. But yeah.
That just makes it a little more awkward that the Vita is doing so badly there.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you think maybe it's because
although Sony employees keep buying 3DSs.
Well, Sony employees can't afford it because no one's buying a Vita.
Oh, it's endless cycle.
Yeah. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something kind of like that, some interesting Japanese something, and then getting some American developer. I feel like this year is going to be the year of interesting announced projects.
Oh yeah, we'll probably see a lot of like cool concepts and stuff at E3. Right.
And like I've said this like in the last couple months, last year we got a lot of those long anticipated indies that were like in all like the indie festivals for like six years ago, and like when are you gonna release?
And we still have a couple of those coming out this year.
Yeah. So like Skulls of the Shogun is finally coming out, and I'll talk about that podcast. Battlelock Theater and The Witness, Monaco seems.
Oh yeah, Monaco. I'm excited about Monaco. That's one of the 60.
But yeah, like.
So you think all those indie studios are probably just now or going to be very soon just getting to the new hardware? So we won't see anything from them for a while.
Hear about their new projects.
Yeah.
Because people have had some time to regroup,
mm-hmm.
or maybe just a new batch of people working on something. But I feel like the new cool things we're going to be playing, I don't think we know about them yet.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Also,
I like
think the new systems, I think that downloadables line is going to get super blurred.
I think
downloadable all the time. So I think you'll see a lot more like $30 projects and like kind of like we've seen with the Vita.
Yeah. And I think
we can do this for $25, like maybe not a full $50 thing, but like I could
see. Yeah, definitely. I think. Go ahead, sorry.
Tokyo Jungle 2.
Okay, I'll play it.
The new PlayStation only runs Tokyo Jungle 2. It doesn't. It's not capable of running any other software.
As long as in Tokyo Jungle 2, there's a new Wake Up Club.
Yeah, Tokyo Jungle 2 is the new Wake Up Club. You wake up and all the other humans.
And then you wake up and then you have to survive or you die.
Yeah.
Wake up or die.
It's kind of like a cross between Home Alone and I Am Legend.
I would play that game.
Wake up and everybody's gone, and then it's also
apocalyptic. I would seriously play that game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, like, I think also going on the downloadable.
Yeah.
On downloadable front, I'm not sure about Microsoft, although I think they might, but Sony's definitely going to be like, hey, want to buy this game retail? You could also just download it.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to tailor PlayStation Plus around stuff like that, like discounts, like. You can, you know, hey, you can buy the next, I don't know, Call of Duty, but you can get it on our system for $5 off of your PlayStation Plus. And you can download it, and you get all this, you get some free themes or free stuff with it, too. You know?
Yeah. Themes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what this does mean, though?
What?
A new PlayStation Home.
Oh, man. Unless that's just Wake Up Club.
PlayStation Home 2.
I mean.
I actually went there once.
Yeah, I went there once.
The thing is, no, that's super successful and profitable. It's weird.
Oh yeah, I know. They will probably update.
Like seriously, there will be a new PlayStation Home, and then like it will be. That's
none of us will care, but there are those people that will care.
Like maybe we'll care.
And go bowling.
I will care for a day. I that's as much as I can give you right now. Probably just part of that day.
Yeah, but we should definitely party in new PlayStation Home just for like a day.
No, it's funny because every so often, maybe like every few months, I see PlayStation Home on my PlayStation menu, PlayStation 3 menu. I'm like, I should check that out. And then I hit the X button, and then it's like, downloading updates. Oh, wait, I haven't used this in like 3 years, and it's going to take an entire day to update. Never mind. And then I just walk away from it. The update's finished. I turn off the system, and then 3 years later, I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they should make it cloud-based next time.
PlayStation Cloud. It's home, but it's in the air. Cloud Home. It's
your
like,
home cloud.
Yeah.
Like you have like wings and stuff. It's cool. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's just they don't have to render a floor.
I like wings are cool.
Yeah. Okay, this has devolved to the point where I think we should probably call this episode.
Well, I actually no. We're,
okay.
Before we go, I want a little just a touch of discussion about Valve.
We have no idea.
We have no. I mean, do we think? Okay, those are whatever those Valve Steam boxes, whatever. There's apparently going to be multiple of them. Whatever they are, whatever they end up being, they're not coming out this year. We can safely say that. But when they do come out, do we see those disrupting the console market, or do you think by that point it'll be too late and people will be already too used to whatever the new consoles are?
I think it
depends on whether the PS3 rivals them in price or not. PS4 rivals them in price or not.
I think these systems will be a lot more expensive, but I don't know.
It is Sony.
No, not the next consoles. Sorry, the Valve boxes, the Steam boxes.
Because I mean, they're
I know. They'll probably be around $1,000 each.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love for them to put out a Steam box that is comparable in price to a new console. That would be my absolute favorite thing. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Close, but not close enough.
Yeah, like sure maybe like $799 or something. Like something coming down to more reasonable, not like full gaming PC cost.
But is this going to like? I mean, there are all those Android based systems that are coming out, but those aren't really going to do. I don't think those are going to go anywhere really. But like, I think Valve has either a chance to fall on their face and then continue just sticking with PC and maybe releasing console ports of whatever their next big projects are, or actually taking off with this and maybe disrupting the console cycle.
Well, I mean,
my problem
is granting your premise, because I feel like Valve is already disrupting.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's important that this is just an extension of what they're doing, that they've consolized the PC game business already to a large extent. So you have a home. Well, I mean, even before that, just like that you had like one place, you had a library, you didn't have to worry about like losing your keys and remembering your disks and having your like activations and blah, 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 and like horrible DRM that was never consistent. And there was all those worries about PC games, and like it was so fragmented that no one had like a place to go to buy PC games. Now you release it on Steam. That's what you do, you know? And you end up making, I mean, especially with smaller games, making a lot more money. So I think if this is just an extension of that, then I think it could be successful. But I think it's already started disrupting the market.
Well,
and continue.
I mean, definitely. I think part of that, is because people just don't play console games that much lately. When people want to play the latest games, they play them on PC. If they have the hardware, or they just focus on phone games like iOS games and stuff. Like console games are just not doing that well because I think people want new consoles, or they don't know they want new consoles, but when they're announced, they'll be like, "I want new consoles," you know?
Yeah, and so of course, the people who have been impatient and have gotten a recent PC will likely find that the new systems are not going to outpace a recent gamer rig.
Oh yeah, definitely. They'll be on at best. They'll be on the level.
For now, and then in a year.
Yeah. But I mean, like more to the point, I think it's will this disrupt it more? Maybe I should ask that. Will things continue to stay the same as they have been with new consoles? Continue, you know, they'll dominate for the first few years and then drop in price, drop in sales. Or will whatever these Steam boxes are, will they like seriously disrupt whatever plans Sony and Microsoft have for their consoles? Like in terms of like, will they come out and everyone will buy those and stop buying the consoles, or will they just kind of continue to move that Steam market from PC only to PC only and this small but dedicated group of people who actually really care about playing on their TVs and their like home theater setup?
Yeah. So here, let's talk about it this way. Here are the things that Valve has to do to make that work.
Okay.
There needs to be like a $5.99 option. I feel like that's like the top end. Like they need to have a thing. They need to not fragment the market like 3DO style craziness.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that's the problem with Android. Why you can't develop for Android? They need to have like, if they want to have these like big picture okay home theater PCs, that's fine, but the Valve, like the Steam Box, needs to be the Steam Box, and they can have a new Steam Box like every year, maybe like upgrading, like kind of iPhone style. But there needs to be like the Steam Box that you develop for, and they need to be able to sell that box like in like GameStop. Like you walk in, it's your console, it's there, it's on the shelves, you buy it. Mm-hmm. Needs to be super easy to set up. It also needs to play PC games.
I mean, we
talked about that a little bit. Like, it's going to be Linux based. It needs to not require porting to Linux work.
I think it would work better, but it
needs to have some virtualization of Windows to work.
One of them will be Linux based, not all of them. I think the one that Valve is developing in house is the Linux based one that you can install Windows on, according to that interview with
So I don't know about the others, but then that's the fragmenting the market thing. Yeah. I think they need to make this a walled garden style thing. Like, not completely. People can still put things on it, but like the store needs to be super contained, and it needs to be super like, so this is compatible with this. This will work here.
For this to actually further disrupt the console market, they need to make a console, not just a PC, easily hook up to your TV.
Right. Because those already exist.
Yeah. All right. So I think.
But it will run PC games.
There are those people who maybe want to get into PC gaming, but the idea of building a new PC is like baffling to them, and they just want something they could just plug into the TV and say, hey,
yeah,
all these PC games I can play.
That is entirely a market. I could probably build my own PC, but I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
Well, like, and like I don't want the headache of like, oh, well, now I have to upgrade this card or that card. Oh, I don't know if this game is compatible with my system. And like, all that stuff. Where it's like, no. Does it run in the Steam box? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Done. I mean, that's the entirety of it. It will be optimized for that spec. It will be zero hassle.
Yeah. The entire reason the consoles surpassed PC in the first place was because it was, here's the hardware. Everything you buy on this system will work for it.
Right.
Yeah. But if you don't have to worry about upgrading it.
But if you can have your Steam box with your Steam sales and your Steam library, I feel like that could outpace a console.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But I think if anything, it's going to be interesting to see what Valve does with this, because even if it doesn't disrupt, like, even if it doesn't continue to, like, to shake things up, it'll still be cool technology that will kind of possibly push video games in general forward, like, just in terms of the tech they're based on. And the next generation of consoles,
the next generation of consoles should take that big picture keyboard.
Oh yeah,
that controller based keyboard. Do that.
Yes, copy that. We don't care if you copy that. That's fine. Everyone
Valve may, but we don't. You do
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, I even think Valve would be okay.
we'll be a character witness on that.
Yep. Now, one thing I wouldn't be surprised if they do is, even if it does nothing else, I wouldn't be surprised if the very existence of Steambox causes Microsoft and Sony to beef up their next systems,
so that the systems coming out, not their next system.
The ones that they haven't announced yet.
Okay,
I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of the reasons they're waiting is because they've known about the Steambox thing and they're trying to beef up the systems but keep it the cost low enough that they can still compete.
But I think at the same time, I think a lot of those specs are probably already I'm sure they knew about, or at least they had rumblings about Valve. I mean, we all have for the past year, Valve working on some new hardware.
I have no doubt that Microsoft and Sony know exactly what Valve is doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think
way better than we do.
The major things that they have to finalize before they start mass producing stuff are probably already done. I wouldn't be surprised if it's causing them to maybe put more hard drive space or beef up the CPU just a little bit more. Or even double the RAM, since RAM is cheap, but they always seem to skimp on it in consoles.
I gotta imagine
360 has 512 megs.
The new PlayStation is gonna have all of the RAM it needs.
More. Yes, especially after the Skyrim incident.
Yeah, this is gonna have all of the RAM. This is gonna be like, why does this system have 64 gigs of RAM? No, we wanted to make sure,
just in case. Bethesda, everything's okay now. Please.
Yeah, there won't be any more. There's only 256 megs of RAM available.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think whatever it is, it'll be good for the video games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no way it's bad for it. It'll, in one way or another, it'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'm excited about new consoles. I'm legitimately like ready for them. I've been ready for them for a year, but now I'm like super ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
How ready are you going to be by June?
Man, I'm going to be super extra ready.
Okay. How about ultra ready? You're ultra ready?
Ultra ready will be the month before launch, and then the day before launch will be super extra ultra ready.
And then that'll just kill you because that's just too much for a person.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'll try to hang in there, but if I don't make it, then you know.
Enjoy the new consoles.
Yeah, you guys enjoy them. You guys enjoy them.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right.
Yeah. So go ahead and wrap this up. In 2 weeks we will have a big RPG centric episode. We'll be talking about the releases in Ni No Kuni, Fire Emblem Awakening, and a look into the year.
Yes.
But until then, I am Graham, and they are Sean and Andrew, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.